ESPN Sports Radio 1300. ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
He's playing 6 rounds, 107-1.
108-1. 108-3. And again in 108-3. He won the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt Handicap at Saratoga, easily defeating Breeders' Cup Sprint winner Big Drama. He posted buyer speed ratings of 117 and 115. Leading trainer Steve Asmussen described him as the fastest horse I've ever seen. That is Majestic Perfection. Majestic Perfection covered a full book of top-quality mares in his first season at stud this year, and if his foals look anything like their sire, they'll be drop-dead gorgeous. Majestic Perfection is sired by Harlan's Holiday, nationally ranked in the sire of 10 2011 stakes winners, and he's out of a mare by the sire of champion two-year-old and outstanding sire Maria's Mont. This is a horse you have to see to fully appreciate. He is truly a stunning individual, Majestic Perfection. He will stand his second season as stud next year at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
With Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. A bright early morning here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clocker Stand, and we've got a balcony full of people out here. Jack is here with me because we put Matt Howard to work over. He's doing the clocking. And I hope he doesn't get snowed over there, Jackie. One of us might have to get up. Matt, if you need help, call. We'll be over there. One of us will.
I'll do a cell phone if you call.
Oh, he says, he's smart guy. Almost cussed. Smart guy.
Watch that.
And he said, I'll give you a call on my cell phone if I need any help. All righty. Well, it's once again, with the ball game, we're on a little bit early. And, of course, we're on before the post-game show, which comes on at 10 o'clock. And Dr. Doug Byers and Michael Blown will be here in about 9. And we're going to try to get a hold of Steve Moody this morning and take a look at the feature race down at Churchill Downs today, which is the Grade 2 Mrs. Revere Stakes for 3-year-old fillies going a mile on the grass. Of course, Jackie has her announcements. We'll read some Joe Palmer. Take a look at one of my favorite horses from 1957, or prior to that, or the next year, as far as that goes, 58, that would be Swoon Son. And he ended up winning almost $1 million, but this was a year before his retirement. Of course, he was raised right over here on the Bryan Station Road. And take a look at a horse named Decimal, who was also one of the better sprinters. Actually, he'd been a better sprinter in 1956, but he came back and won a nice stakes. Won the Toboggan in 1957, and he was by Slide Rule, who was by Boojum, who was by John P. Greer. And anyway, we'll take a little bit of look at him. And, of course, Jackie's, as I said, got her announcements. You want to do a couple of them now, Jackie? You want to wait? Or how do you want to work this?
That's fine. Yeah. I can do them 3 or 4 times if you need me.
Heaven forbid.
What's today? Today is
Saturday.
Saturday the 13th. Okay. Yes,
yesterday was 11-11-11.
I know. Yeah. Isn't that, you're supposed to make a wish or something. Too late for you.
I wish that I'd be around to see a 12-12-12.
There you go.
All right.
Okay, at the horse park today is History Heritage Days are going on right now. It's oxen. They call it the oxen are coming. So I guess if you want to see oxen pull things, that's the place you should go. You don't see that much for sure.
I'm going to step over and see if Matt needs help. And you holler
okay.
If you need me.
Sure.
I'll be back in time to do that first set of commercials, okay?
Okay. Also, the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemen's International Conference and Annual Meeting is going on. And today, Kentucky High School Athletic Association State cross-country meet. Betsy used to do those. They run through the campground. It's a great cross-country course. Today is snowbird dressage. That's Julie Congleton, if you want to go out and check that out. Now, November 17th, which is the next weekend, Southern Lights Open. first is the Southern Light Stroll on the 17th. Now, bring a friend, spouse, kids, co-workers, etc., church group, civic workers, and dogs on leashes to walk the three-mile route through the park lined with a million lights. You can also compete in their 5K race and take a part in drawing for door prizes. Good way to kick off the holiday season, especially if you plan to eat. Bring cans of pet foods to donate to local animal shelters. Walk-up registration at 5. The stroll begins at 6:45. And it's cheaper. The 5K race is cheaper if you pre-register, I think, right away on that one. Let me see here. Coming up after that, next weekend is the Olika Shrine Rodeo. And, of course, like I said, Southern Lights will be open. It's beautiful. Need to take the kids, need to take the grandkids, and take visitors, because there's nothing else quite like Southern Lights. It's beauty. Okay, I want to mention here, we had our fences painted and fixed on the farm. Super reasonable. It was great. This guy's name's Robert Lee Clark, and he is from Winchester. And he works all around Central Kentucky. He's been doing this since 1988, and he has a horse background, so he doesn't leave gates open. But he gave us a price, and I know at one point, I don't know if he had figured it in, we had some posts leaning. You know how they do if the ground's not perfectly level. Horses used to stand in this one spot, and it kind of got dug out. And they had to sink those in concrete and threw them a little behind. But, you know, it wasn't anything. I hate hiring somebody who comes up and says, well, we didn't figure on, you know. Straight up, beautiful job. They did our barn, too, and they just went around that barn and painted and painted and painted until they had it just the way they liked it. Because we had have an old barn, a fairly, well, and they did the shed and stuff, but we had pressure washed that barn to get off old flakes of paint and stuff. Got down to the wood, and I think he put 4 coats on that barn. It looks fantastic. They painted the windows in the barn and the doors and all that kind of stuff. So you need to give this guy a call. Let me give you his cell phone number. He does private residences, too, but he specializes in barns and fences, and the fences look gorgeous. He's the kind of guy you can say, just pull the posts that need to be pulled and replace planks. And you don't go out there and have a brand new fence. They don't overdo it. They do it just right. So his phone number is 333-1102. It's 333-1102. That's Clark Paint Contracting. We're out here at the Thoroughbred Center on the Paris Pike. And this is such a wonderful thing. They have the model train and railroad show. Right before Christmas, it's just such a nifty idea. It's $5 a person, children under 12 free with parents. Just really, really nice. It's Lexington's Toy Train Meeting. I went over there once a couple years ago, and if you like toy trains or trains or whatever, you need to stop and check that out. It opens up at 10, and it runs till 2 o'clock. It's a treat. I'm afraid if I go over there, I'll buy a train, because I love toy trains. Always have. Kentucky Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association, Inc. has issued a memorandum to horsemen and racetrack practitioners. They are going to have a racing commission meeting on race day medication. This is Monday, this coming Monday, November 14th at 10 o'clock. It will be in Frankfurt at the Capitol Annex building in room 169, and they want to hear comments regarding the administration of Salix / Lasix on race day. The organizations to speak, you got the usuals. Jockey Club Toba, Jockeys Guild, HBPA, Arthur Hancock, HBPA, Breeders' Cup, Kentucky Association of Equine Practitioners, Association of Racing, but listen up, the Humane Society of the United States and PETA are going to be there. And they want a petless, meatless society. So they don't want horse racing. They don't want you to own a pet. And what they're doing at this meeting is to push to do whatever they can to wreck this industry. I'm telling you, they're amazing. So support your local humane society and forget these nationals. Anyway, oh, and I saw a thing yesterday. I saw a little blip. I don't know if it's on Facebook or what, that the Breeders' Cup is giving second thought to banning Lasix next year at the Breeders' Cup. So, all right. The horse park has the new bit and bridle restaurant and the farmhouse. They can cater horse shows and meetings. Information, call Mary Callahan, 259-4212. The farmhouse is that little former residence at the horse park that they have converted into a meeting place and a restaurant.
Jackie, yes. Want to go give Matt a hand?
All right.
All righty. Well, last week at Churchill Downs, the $500,000 Centennial and Jet Breeders Cup Juvenile Sprint Stakes was won by Secret Circle, a two-year-old colt by Eddington, bred by Wilmot Stables, sold for $165,000 at the Ocala Breeders March two-year-olds in training sale, and trained by Bob Baffert. Secret Circle's undefeated in three starts. Won his first start, a maiden special at Del Mar by 7 1/4 lengths. Went over to Santa Anita for an impressive 5 1/4 length score in the Jack Goodman Stakes, then overcame a rough trip in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint to win by length over Shamooze by Distorted Humor and Holden Bullets by Go Sapper. It's noteworthy that Secret Circles is displaying brilliance as a two-year-old because Eddington came into his own at 3-4, winning the Grade 1 Pimlico Special, the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Handicap, the Grade 3 Calder Derby, and placing in 7 other graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Preakness, the Grade 1 Travers, the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, and the Grade 1 Don. Millionaire Eddington, by unbridled, stands for $5,000 at Claiborne Farm. In other stakes, the Grade 2 Las Palmas was won by All-Star Heart, a four-year-old filly by Arch, who stands for $30,000, and the King Cougat at Aqueduct was won by Summer Front, a two-year-old colt by Warfront, fee $60,000. Fees, of course, to all Claiborne stallions, due in the fold, stands, and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, opportunity knocks again today. Just go to Barn 14 and look over the Indian Creek consignment. And remember, Indian Creek has already sold 6 champions on 4 different continents. The weanlings are by Limehouse, sire the recent winner of the Grade 3 Commonwealth Turf at Churchill, Point Given, a Henny Hughes colt out of a stakes placed winner of over $114,000, by Champion War Pass, and 2 by Grade 1 Millionaire Discreet Cap. Broodmares are in fold of Smoke Blacken, Mineshaft, Colonel John, Bellamy Road, and Tis Wonderful. There, too, you will find 4 well-bred 3-year-old racing of broodmare prospects. Hip number 1971, for instance, is by First Samurai, and she's a winning half-sister to a graded stakes winner and Millionaire. The others are sired by Mr. Greeley. She's a half-sister to a graded stakes winner, and by top sire Street Cry and Malibu Moon. So look them over in Barn 14 today. And to ensure your purchases, contact the Clay Ward Agency in Paris, right up the road here, 987-1861. Just ask for Shaq Parrish, or you might see Shaq out at the sale, for Bruce Isaacs or John Hess, one of the world's most respected insurance agencies. The Clay Ward Agency has been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds since 1931. That number again is 987-1861. The Pin Oak Stallions for 2012, Bob and John, Broken John, Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Bob and John won Grade 1 stakes and earned over $996,000. He's by Seeking the Goal. Out of Grade 1 stakes win Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister. He's the sire of 9 two-year-old winners this year in his first crop, including a stakes winner. Two-year-olds, of course, as I said, this year. Broken Vow is the sire of 17 2011 stakes horses and 4 Grade 1 stakes winners. Broken Vow is a multiple graded stakes winner by unbridled out of a daughter, Nijinsky II. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner and Millionaire by champion sire John's Causeway out of a daughter Seeking the Goal. First foals are weanlings. Watch for them in Keeneland. November sales. And, of course, Sky Classic has sired 59 stakes winners and over 100 stakes horses and 10 Grade 1 stakes winners. A winner of an Eclipse Award of over $3,320,000. Sky Classic is by the great Nijinsky II. For more information about the Pin Oak Stallions, contact Clifford Berry and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you never cheat on me.
Righty. Well, Jackie's still clocking, and we're going to play a musical chair. We're doing this show while we're clocking here this morning. We've got Matt Howard here.
And the break can't come too fast.
And got Holly Dunn over there helping out, scribing down. Holly is our...
EMS.
Our EMS, and very nice young lady. And she's pretty good at scribing over there, too. She learned, jumped right in to help out one day.
She's a cowgirl.
Yeah.
Cowgirls can do anything.
Cowgirls can do anything. Well, before we proceed, let me tell you that we have had winners out of the Thoroughbred Center, nine of them since the last show. And they were saddled by Paul Garcia. Paul saddled another one. Wayne Mogie, Howard Rice, Alan Crupper, another one for Paul. That's three for Paul Garcia. Eduardo Caramori, John Booker, and Kellen Gorder. Eduardo is from Argentina. And, of course, he's been up here, and his kids were raised up here, and they speak perfect English better than, well, they don't have the accent that I do, for instance. But Eduardo's a little hard to understand. He calls up on the phone to give me a horse's name, and we go around and around. I'm trying to figure out what he's saying. Yesterday, I had to give up. And
funny.
Well, it was so busy, I couldn't spend a whole lot of time with Eduardo. He's a really nice guy. Veterinarian, by the way, in addition to being a very good...
His wife is, too, veterinarian.
Yeah, very good horse trainer. Mm-hmm. They do it very well. He's got both those boys over there speak perfect English. And I told him, I said, why don't you get them to call up? Usually, Cowie, who is the older one of the two, comes over here, but he didn't for this particular work. So I just had to hang up, and I went over after the break. I mean, not after the break, after I got off at 10 o'clock and got the name of the horse, but...
That's funny.
I was going to blow about four works trying to just get the one name out of Eduardo. But
that's funny.
But anyway, we got it. All right, you want to go back, and I'll go over here and see what's going on. I think Matt's got everything under control. Did you get Scooters?
Yes. Let's see. Oh, we're out here at Thoroughbred Center now. There's going to be a Campfire and Starlight Gala, which is a benefit for Burnham Wood Camp, November 19th. November 19th. What day is the 19th? Oh, yeah, next Saturday here at the Thoroughbred Center. Now, I'm mentioning this because it's a benefit, and it's out here at Thoroughbred Center. If you're interested, call the First Presbyterian Church in Paris, Kentucky, because that's who's putting this on. But Camp Burnham Wood is nice and worth mentioning, I thought. My favorite restaurant used to be the Black Tulip over in Midway, and that was because Spencer Vandendoel was the chef. Now they have relocated. He now has the Tulip Bistro and Bar in Lexington and Chevy Chase. And I can't say enough about this restaurant. It is delicious. The food is out of this world, especially their stuff like oysters. They fix oysters any way you can think of oysters. They have crab, they have frog legs, that kind of stuff that you don't get at the drive-thru, no kidding. They have soups and salads. They have entrees there. They have duck, bouillabaisse, lamb shank, fillets, of course, and all kind of seafood in one dish that is just, you can't believe it. It's just out of this world. And, of course, chicken, stuff like that. Of course, they've got burgers and a poor boy and a fish and chips. I love their fish and chips, by the way. That's another thing that's excellent. Anyway, they're over on 355 Romney Road, and if you want to look at the menu and check out stuff, it's the tuliphbistroandbar.com, online. And let me give you the phone number because you for sure want to make reservations. It's 367-6687. That's the Tulip Bistro and Bar in Chevy Chase. Centrally located, easy to find. All right, the Woodford Hunt is having trials next Saturday, November 19th at 11. They're at the kennels. That's down next to Shaker Village. And if you're interested, you can check out the woodfordhounds.com if you want to go. Or you just want to go ride, or you're just going to go watch or whatever. Speaking of Shaker Village, they close on specific dates for quail hunts. Now, let's see. Wednesday and Thursday this past week was a quail hunt. December 5th and 6th, Monday and Tuesday, will be a quail hunt. December 21st and 22nd will be another quail hunt. So, this weekend, the trails are open because, but you have to pay attention because today, yesterday and today is part of the 100-mile endurance competition. So, if you're thinking about loading up and going down and ride at Shaker Village, you might want to give them a call ahead of time. Kentucky Horse Council has issued a memorandum concerning the Kentucky Proud program. Kentucky Proud for Horses. They've accepted horses into the Kentucky. You see Kentucky Proud all the time. It's that little blue and white sticker when you buy locally, especially when you buy at farmers markets and stuff. So, if you want to participate, you can go to KentuckyHorse.org. That's the Horse Council's website, and then you can click on Kentucky Proud. It's not real hard. You just have to, you can get marketing grants and, or just join. So it's excellent. If you want less than $5,000, they review them immediately. If it's more than five, they review it. And so it's a really good thing. It's just more information and more help for people in the horse business. If you're a participant in Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, and it's a wonderful program, it's closed right now. They close through January 23rd. Now, if you want to participate next year, there is a registration deadline of January 4th. So, get them hold of them out at the horse park. Their number, Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, is 231-7066. There's a new organization. It's called the Thoroughbred Horse Show Association. It's been created to develop shows just for thoroughbreds. Give them experience before they, you know, if you want to go on to 3-day or you want to do hunter stuff. The events are geared for thoroughbreds. The horse park will host shows next spring and fall, and additional shows are planned. The Jockey Club has a thoroughbred incentive program to sponsor thoroughbred classes and High Point Awards. So, they're going to offer two awards in 2012, Thoroughbred of the Year Award and the Young Rider Award. That's through the Thoroughbred Incentive Program. That encourages people to adopt thoroughbreds when they're finished racing, retrain them, and helps them get a leg up. Okay, we're here at the Thoroughbred Center. It says over 40 years of tradition and mystique. I don't know about the mystique part. I haven't run into a lot of mystique around here, but I'll say what they say. They've got a lounge, and they've got conference rooms. They've got a pavilion. You can do all kind of stuff here. Remember the children's theater used to do stuff here all the time? I don't know where they do that now, but it's a great place.
I grew it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, if you're interested in renting a room or getting married or divorced and having a party, it's 293-1853.
Well, Royal Delta, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic of the Grade 1 Alabama Stakes and sold earlier this week at Keeneland for $8,500,000. She's a 3-year-old filly by Empire Maker. Empire Maker, winner of the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, the top sire, Chester House, a Grade 1 sire, Grade 1 and a Grade 1 Stakes winner, of course, Grade 1 Stakes winner, Chisling, and Grade 1 Stakes winner, Honest Lady, were all produced by the Grade 1 Stakes winner, Troussard. She's a Broodmare of the Year. The family abounds with Grade 1 performances. Honest Lady by Seattle Slough won the Grade 1 Santa Monica Handicap, earned over $894,000, and produced three stakes winners, including Grade 1 stakes winner, First Defense, by Unbridled Song. First Defense's forte was speed, sprinted 7 furlongs and 120 and 4, and 121 and 1, and 121 and 2 the day he won the Grade 1 Forgo Handicap at Saratoga. He had brilliant speed, and he has a classic pedigree. The first foals by the First Defense will race next year, and because he also has a pedigree loaded with successful sires, watch for him to come out running. Stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fried. See the website, judmont.com. All right, Jackie, take care of our good friend Tom Biederman.
Tom Biederman, proprietor of Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. I want to get this word out early. There are two auctions today at 10:30, beautiful properties. One is 1810 Delaney. It's a Nicholasville address, but it's Nicholasville, Jessamine, Woodford County in there. 87 acres in the house and 118 Parker's Lane, same area. If you need directions or you want to look at more of the stuff, it's BiedermanBrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, Brokerage.com, and that's at 10:30 this morning. But I got a couple other ones I want to tell you about. It's an auction Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, in Woodford County, 68 acres, Inside Man of War, 2851 Parker's Mill. That's another absolute auction. There's also for sale 125 acres in Woodford County on McCracken, an 1827 federal house that's been renovated. This place is gorgeous, $5,400,000. And here's the next one. I swear it must be a typo. 3155 Keene Road, Nicholasville, 25 acres, 3,200 square foot home, 3.5 baths, a pool house, a guest cottage, tennis courts. This thing is fabulous. Now listen to this, $695,000. I want you all to call BiedermanBrokerage.com and say if that's the real price. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a stunning white house. It's gorgeous porch, two stories, four bedrooms, country living with city convenience, and it's marked down to $695,000. Amazing. Anyway, BiedermanBrokerage.com or 277-2030.
Well, congratulations to Court Vision, winner of the Grade 1 $2 million TVG Breeders' Cup Mile over a superb field, which included 3 times Breeders' Cup Mile winner Goldacover. Court Vision, winner of over $3,746,000, is a full brother to Kipling, sire of Kip DeVille, winner of the Breeders' Cup Mile, and of more than $3,325,000. Court Vision and Kipling are by Mr. Prospector's stellar son, Gulch, out of a half-sister by Stormbird to champion sire AP Indy, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic and of the Classic winner and successful sire Summer Squall. It's a fantastic pedigree. Kipling now stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, but he had demonstrated his ability to sire runners before moving to Kentucky. Besides Kip DeVille, winner of 4 Grade 1 stakes, he sired such stakes winners as Lord Kipling, winner of over $400,000. Dreams and Visions, winner of over $500,000. Taylor Madison, winner of over $315,000. And the list just keeps going on. Kipling, $5,000 live foal. Ask about breeding incentives. And check the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
All right, we're back. You still announcing? Huh?
It's track break.
It's track break time.
Yeah, I'm going to go out for a smoke. If I smoked.
Oh, you all wrapped up in a... Well, I've got one that'll last forever.
Oh.
I got to take care of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association and the breeders of stakes winners last week.
Yeah.
And, Lord have mercy, it's going to take up a segment.
What did you say the percentage of Kentucky breds that won the Breeders' Cup? Do you
well,
remember
there were 11,
what you said?
There were 15 Breeders' Cup races, and 11 of them were Kentucky breds.
Good.
So you'll have to figure out the percentage. I divide 15 into 11.
Forget it. I haven't done that since fifth grade, and I don't intend to start doing it again. So there, right. Take you, that.
Yeah, I did it in sixth grade and flunked. So I'm not going to try either. Well, anyway, let me run through them real quick. Now, these are all, this is, of course, David Schweitzer has supplied all this information. And David is from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association in Toba. And Drosselmeyer, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's a grade one stakes. Was bred in Kentucky by Aaron and Marie Jones.
Hey, smart aleck. Over here just said it's 73%.
73%. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Matt Howard.
I wouldn't trust those figures. He graduated from Kansas State.
Oh. Yeah, he didn't say Kansas State.
I got it, too.
Oh, Holly got it, too.
Okay.
They're so ganging up on us.
Both of them got the same thing?
Yeah.
Well,
see, that's kind of
like
I'll
trust Holly. the TVG Breeders' Cup Mile Grade 1 winner, Accord Vision, we just talked about him, was bred by Will Farish, Kilroy, and the Kilroy Thoroughbred Partnership. Tappet is the sire course of Hanson. Hanson won the Grey Goose Breeders' Cup Juvenile Grade 1, and he was bred by Dr. Kendall Hanson, who had the courage to name a horse after himself.
I know, that's usually the kiss of death.
Yeah, there was one named Ursel after my daddy, and he wasn't worth two dead flies.
I think he won, didn't he? I thought that was Boss Ellis was that horse's name.
Well, it might have been.
Yes, it was.
Well,
and
one of them wasn't any good. You know,
okay.
Boss Ellis.
I think he ran on the bottom somewhere, and I think I've seen a picture.
Yeah, we may have a picture, because Mr. Pirat, H.B. Pirat, Pappy trained him, and I've got a lot of pictures of Pappy.
Yeah.
And one of my all-time favorite people. The Grade 1 Emirates Airline Breeders' Cup Turf winner, St. Nicholas Abbey, was bred foaled in Ireland. How'd that get in there? There were two Irish breds went, you know. Oh, I've just got all the charts here. That's how. I'm just supposed to give you the Kentucky breds. Scratch that Irishman. The Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner, Caleb's Posse, by Posse, stands up at Vinery, New York, bred by Don McNeil in Kentucky. Regally Ready, who won the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, that's Grade 2, is a four-year-old son of More Than Ready, who stands over at Vinery and was bred by Grapestock LLC, which is Vinery's racing division.
That's a heck of a name.
Regally Ready?
No, Grapestock.
Oh, Grapestock?
Off Vinery.
Yeah, that's their racing division.
Very clever.
Yeah. They're doing extremely well, by the way. Well, they're nice people. They deserve all the success they get. The Grade 1 Sentient Jet Breeders' Cup Sprint winner was a California bred. I got to look at this before
pay
I read
attention.
Them. Well, I'll go through them. Rote, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Grade 1, was an Irish bred. By High Chaparral. I believe High Chaparral stands at Coomore.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Wait a minute,
got to turn that off. Wait a minute.
That's all right. What the hell?
Can't hear you. Okay.
Well, she has to have mines on over there.
Yeah, there's one over there, too.
And somebody breaks a leg out there, they got to be able to get in touch with Holly.
Yeah. Well, that was maintenance. That's fine, but we couldn't hear it.
Well, so maybe somebody in maintenance broke a leg.
Oh, a twofer. It's a twofer.
The Breeders' Cup Marathon, Grade 2, $500,000, was won by a fleet again. It was bred by the Rosie Dice Racing Stable. That's a Kentucky bred. A Kentucky bred Royal Delta, who just sold for $8.5 million.
Oh, I just want one of those. I just want one hoof of one of those.
Yeah, well, I'd take a third of what she brought.
Oh.
Do you ever think you could breed $7 million on a horse and be an underbidder?
No, isn't that something?
That would take a lot of guts, wouldn't it? Anyway, yeah. Royal Delta was bred by Palades Investments in Kentucky. Perfect Swirl, who won the Emirates Airline Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, Grade 1, Perfect Cheryl, was bred by Charles Fipke in Kentucky. My Miss Aurelia, who I guess has got a lock on 2-year-old Philly Championship, was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings in Kentucky. Musical Romance, one of the sentient Jet Breeders' Cup Philly and Mare Sprint, Grade 1. Musical Romance was a Florida bred, Pittelburgers. Stephanie's Kitten, bred of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Phillies Turf, Grade 2, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey over...
Oh, that's a Kentucky bred.
Ken really enjoys that. He loves it. I don't
know
anybody...
I love to see somebody get that much enjoyment.
He gets a whole lot of enjoyment out of it, bless his heart. The Sentinel Jet Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint for 2-year-olds, Secret Circle won that. He's by Eddington, of course, who stands over at Claiborne Farm. And his son of Unbridled, and Eddington, Wilmot Stables bred Secret Circle. There were other Kentucky breds that win stakes over the weekend. The Grade 2 Chalookie, named after the good 2-year-old filly by Holy Bull, I believe. Anyway, down to Churchill, won Butter Up Buttercup, won that, bred by Avalon Farms. The Grade 2 Red Smith Handicap winner, Boisterous, is by Distorted Humor, was bred by Cynthia Phipps, and I'm sure was raised over Claiborne. The Grade 3 Commonwealth Turf Stakes down at Churchill. Humble and Hungry by Limehouse, that stands over at Vinery, was bred by Rose Hill Farm, right up the Paris Pike, on the right, going in toward Paris. The Grade 3 Cardinal Hill Handicap at Churchill went to Deluxe, bred by Judmont Farm. The Grade 3 ACAC Handicap down at Churchill. Mr. Mardi Gras won that, bred by Lothenbach Stables. The Grade 3 Bowl Ruler Stakes at Aqueduct. Calibracoa. Anyway, Nelson Bunker Hunt, I didn't pronounce that, bred that one. The Grade 3 Turnback the Alarm Stakes at Aqueduct went to Arena Elvira, bred by Northwest Farms. The Jimmy V, Don't Give Up, Don't Ever Give Up Stakes at Churchill Downs. Will's Wildcat was bred by Patton's Creek Farm. The Dream Supreme Stakes at Churchill Downs, Salter Strike, bred by Craig Singer. The Lord Henry B Stakes at Aqueduct, Il Villano, bred by Vosfield Bloodstock Group. The King Cougat Stakes at Aqueduct, Summer Front by War Front, of course stands at Claiborne Farm, bred by Gracefield Breeding. The Veteran Stakes at Zia, Vamoose won that, bred by Everest Racing Stables, more than likely raised over at Crestwood Farm. Then the Golden Gate Debutante Stakes, Lady of 50, was bred by Cloverleaf Farms. So that was a pretty good representation by, I've got it, the summary down here. I wrote this down. This is what you asked me to begin with, wasn't it? 15 Breeders' Cup races, 11 Kentucky bred, 2 Irish, 1 California, and 1 Florida.
So that's about right.
Yeah, that was about right, you said?
Yeah.
How did Florida bred and cow bred get
in
there?
I don't know.
We'll tolerate the Irish.
That's funny.
All righty. Now, what are we
going? That phone, they called looking for David. Didn't you say he went deer hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's not here.
David is not on the... premises.
Okay.
So who was that call? The gate?
The gate was calling maintenance, and they didn't have an answer either.
Ah. And the outriders are on break. Well, the outrider down below is here.
Yeah.
When somebody brings a horse in here to work at Ship's Inn, they're supposed to check in at the guard shack out here, and the guard is supposed to alert the outriders.
Yes.
And, of course, it's break time now. Everybody's going to the bathroom. And
how do you know?
Well.
They might be having a party somewhere we don't know about.
All right. Well, Compressor has posted 2 wins and 3/3 and 5 starts. Farhan has 2 wins and a 2nd and 4 starts. Long Jamil won a maiden special in his 2nd start. Najar ran 2nd at Arlington, then was beaten just a nose in a maiden special at Keenan. Windspeaker ran 2nd, his most recent start up at Woodbine, all 2-year-olds, all from the first crop by the classic-winning stayer, Jazzle. Jazzle won the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes at the direct expense of Bluegrass Cat, following a fast-closing 2nd in the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, and a game fourth in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby for earnings of nearly $900,000. His half-sister, champion Rags to Riches, also won the Belmont Stakes. His dam, Broodmare of the Year, Better Than Honor, won the Grade 2 Demoiselle and placed in two Philly Classics. The second dam won the Kentucky Oaks and produced three graded stakes winners. She's a grand dam of an Oaks winner. His third dam was yet another Broodmare of the Year. Jazzle, a son of Seeking Gold, should be a great source of classic stamina. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes. And see the website at shadwellfarm.com. You take time from reading the paper over there, and you're as bad as...
It's a picture of a cute dog.
As Michael Blowen, he comes in here and reads racing for him.
Yeah, well, it's cheaper reading yours. Yeah. Works every time. Same words, Ursel. Same pictures.
Same old pictures.
Just the same. Quillen Leather and Tack. Absolutely the best leather and tack shop in Central Kentucky, period. They're in Paris, Kentucky. Easy to find. Just go straight into Paris and keep looking. I think it's a third light. Didn't you say that? Well, they're gearing up.
Yes.
Now the sales halters and all that kind of stuff are pretty much done. Next sales way up in January. So, he's having Christmas specials. And the first Christmas special is a free small key tag with their checkbook covers. You know, you slide your checks in one side and the balance thing in the other. And then they put your name on it. And so if you buy a checkbook or a wallet, they make wallets too.
Oh,
really?
I bet they make good
nice,
ones.
Nice, yeah. Beautiful leather. It's gorgeous. So you get your name there, and you get your name on a key tag if you want to give somebody that for Christmas. It's really nice. They've also got these little bracelets with names on them too, nameplates, like on halters and stuff. Really good looking. They have a great gift shop. They just stocked it. Oh, and they just put up all their Christmas decorations. So it's a fun place to stop in. And they do all kind of repairs on tack. Anything you got, they'll fix it. They don't care. They just do a really good job. So that's Quillen.com. And why don't you friend him on Facebook? Because Ralph will tell you every place he's gone to eat and every place, every band he's listened to. It's so funny. He gets out. I'm out and about. Quillen.com, Quillin.com, 987-0215.
Well, distorted humor is North America's leading sire. He is the sire of Drosselmeyer, winner of the 2011 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. He is also sire of the winners of all three Triple Crown races. And he's the sire of the highly promising young sire, Sharp Humor. Now, the first foals by Sharp Humor are three-year-olds this year, and he's the sire of 14 stakes horses in his first crop. 9 of the 14 have won a place in stakes this year. He was the sire of 24 first-crop two-year-old winners, and he was the number one-ranked Kentucky-based sire of juvenile winners, and 8 of those 24 won a place in stakes. He has sired black-type earners at Saratoga, at Woodbine, at Monmouth Park, at Santa Anita, at Turfway, at Belmont Park and Presque Isle and Oaklawn, and in Great Britain. Major runners at major tracks. Sharp Humor was a runner himself. He won two stakes in New York as a two-year-old, won the Grade 2 Swale Stakes and was second, and a photo finished to Barbaro in the Grade 1 Florida Derby at 3. Like his great sire, Sharp Humor stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do.
Righty, well, we're here at the Thoroughbred Center, and Jackie, you've already put away all your announcements and everything.
I already did them.
Yeah, and all right, what am I going to do? Want to read something, or?
Sure.
Before the roof falls in, we've got about 15 minutes before they open up the track after the break.
Yeah.
One of us is going to have to get up and help poor Matt over there. We've got Holly scribing, so we'll be ready. It gets really hectic working the works. I mean, sometimes, you know, they'll be calling from the gate and five or six trainers up here hanging over you, giving you names, and another five or six working at the time. And
then the phone rings. Yeah, with somebody else.
Oh, yeah, and the phone rings, always rings.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I'm hoping, you always hoping it's the wrong number, but it never is.
Well, that's funny, because it rang before, and I answered, and I said, Clocker. And I guess because it wasn't your voice, they hung up.
Well, they used to either Holly or...
Well, I don't know. They hung up. Maybe it was the wrong number.
Well, could be. Maybe they changed their mind or something.
I don't know, but I caught something 3/8 and 38 right after that. So if they're listening, if that was you, that's what you got. Okay. But I don't have a name.
What you get is what you get, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. You know, it's basketball season. It's football season.
Oh, that's a funny one.
And Palmer, Joe Palmer wrote... And let's see.
He used to teach at the University of Kentucky. He taught English.
Yes.
And evidently he had the athletes in his classes.
Yeah.
And, the ones that say, I've been in classes with those guys. They sit in the back and laugh, you know.
Well, this had to be written. They built a Coliseum over on High Street or Avenue of Champions.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, and anyway, they had just completed that. And they did that, I think they completed that in 1950. I believe that 49.
So that's not High Street. What is that?
No, it's not High Street. It's Euclid.
Euclid, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they call it the Avenue of Champions.
Well, the sign says that, but everybody says Euclid.
Yeah, well, anyway, they had just completed that. And I think 48, 49... Memorial Coliseum, of course, they call it, and it was dedicated to Kentuckians who lost their lives in World War II. Well, the wars, a good friend of mine's name was up there, died over in Korea.
I wonder what they did with that, the plaques.
I don't know, but they listed all the names, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was written by Joe Palmer. In the days of the last Republican president, this avid admirer of basketball instructed freshmen in their native language at the University of Kentucky. This was preferable to starvation, though the difference was not easily discernible. A corollary of this was that some thousands of freshman teams came up for inspection. Nearly all of them began, "Football benefits a player, mentally, physically, and morally." Reiteration is normally convincing, but in this case it failed. I could never quite buy this one. Since I had quite a few football players in class, sometimes for several years, it was never possible to be in any doubt about the mental benefit conferred. To even the most inexperienced eye, it was obvious that if hurling one's bodies recklessly against either an animate or inanimate target improved the health, more physicians would prescribe it, and that no possible good could accrue from being dashed violently against hard and sometimes frozen ground. I was never sure about the morality of my charges, but I had suspicions because frequently boys who were being paid to inspect the campus for wild elk failed to do so, and for that matter sometimes missed tackles, which amounted to bad faith. It was no doubt a narrow point of view, but it was hard for me to trust the strategy of a quarterback when I had private knowledge that he could not read without facial contortions, and that the only way he could be made to recognize a dangling participle was to have it set in bold-faced type. For these reasons, it became impossible for me to take football seriously. Basketball offered three obvious advantages. For one thing, it chanced that I had no basketball players in my classes, and it was thus possible to delude myself that the five young men wearing the blue and white on the court were wily, resourceful players who lost the ball out of bounds for dark reasons of their own. They rather obviously had to be smart, for the coach in those days, not the present successful Mr. Rupp, would draw two cards to a flush. The other two advantages were that the game was played indoors and that it did not take very long to get over. The third of these advantages has been lost since then by the introduction of the double hitter, an institution which reminds me of a lady who, after laughing immoderately at a joke, said, "That's a wonderful story. Tell it again." But also, since then, I have discovered something which makes all these items trivial. I do not have to watch it. I rather suspect that basketball would be a very interesting game, if it could be played. It requires remarkable skill in ball handling, lightning reflexes, intricate teamwork, and even, despite the body structure of some of the participants, a considerable amount of grace. But I have never understood why two men are permitted, and in many cases paid, to interrupt it every time it gets good. John Kieran suggested that a man who breathes through a whistle shall surrender either his whistle or his breath, and that after three offenses he shall have only 20 seconds to decide, is enthusiastically seconded here. But the idea, which seems to have been lost sight of, was to say something good of basketball, and now it's possible to do so. Over the last 5 years, I suppose no one could deny that, by and large, the University of Kentucky has had the best team in the nation, but if you want to say merely one of the best, I'm not looking for argument. It got this way because Kentucky has strained for more than 100 years to produce the finest racehorses, and it was possible to adapt the same technique to basketball. When a Kentucky breeder becomes dissatisfied with a local stock, he does not sit on a rock and cry. He reaches to England or France or Italy and imports the best material he can find. And in recent years, such horses as Mahmoud, Blenheim II, Heliopolis, Nazrullah, Alibi, and many others have been brought in as reinforcements. The university did not have this far to go, but imported such material that was necessary. We're working up now to the cultural advantage of basketball, because the university had such a good team, a lot of people wanted to see it. Because of this, existing facilities had become inadequate, and a memorial coliseum was constructed. It is, of course, also used for other purposes. Sometime last week, Charles Lawton came and did a monologue. He usually does, of course, but this time there were no other actors. He played to 8,500 people. Last November, Sir Thomas Beecham dropped past with the London Philharmonic Orchestra and played to 13,500 people. You can see culture going up like whirlaway in the stretch. Without basketball, no $4 million Coliseum. Without the Coliseum, no London Philharmonic. This is a very good thing to say about basketball. So I finally made it.
That's so funny.
That's Joe Palmer written back
in
the 19th. Was your mic on? Is her mic on?
I don't know.
Now I hear you.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, I listen to you all day, so.
Better.
Sometimes half the night.
You don't have a choice. Then why whine about it?
Whoops, I better do a commercial. I just read right through commercial time there. Let's see. Well, Funny Moon, a 5-year-old daughter of Malibu Moon, topped the sale last Sunday at Fazy Tipton, Kentucky. A Grade 1 stakes winner, Funny Moon, went to My Meadow View LLC for $2,300,000. And the third best price of the sale was $1,550,000 bid by the Alpha Delta stable for a mare in Folder Malibu Moon. Perhaps bidders had been influenced by the victory of Managed Account, a 2-year-old colt by Malibu Moon, and the Tackett Stakes at Aqueduct earlier in the day. But it's more likely they have seen Malibu Moon's name among the top five on the North American sire list, or his prodigy in the winner's circle after many of the nation's most coveted stakes. Manager Count is his 57th stakes winner, 13th 2011 stakes winner. Malibu Moon stands at Spendthrift Farm, whose silks were carried to victory in the Grade 1 $2 million TVG Breeders' Cup Turf Mile last Saturday. A multiple Grade 1 stakes winner of over $3,746,000. Court Vision is to stand the 2012 season at Park Stud in Canada. And, of course, let me remind you, there's an open house at Spendthrift Farm from 11 to 3 throughout the sale. And you're invited to inspect the stallions, including Court Vision, and also, while you're there, the brilliant Tisway. Tisway is standing his first season at Stud at Spendthrift in Kentucky next year. Just contact the farm, 294-0030. Check with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Fell or Ned Toffee, and be sure to inquire about breeding incentives. And see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Prisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Prisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, I want to take time to congratulate Ron Wallace for the sales that he had for Chanticleer Farm over at... He handled that sale for Chanticleer and was managing that farm, among many other things that he does. And, of course, he sold the sales topper at $8.5 million. So congratulations, Ron. Ron, of course, is the other things that he does besides manage farms and build farms. And that's he owns the Equine Farm Management. And it was established in 1955 as an aid to help farm owners enjoy their horse farms. And what he does, he comes in and designs your farm, can make improvements to make your operation smoother. And he also can recommend people who do work around here, construction, plumbers, fence builders, painters, barn builders. What would you call that? That's construction, isn't it? Anyway. He knows them all, and he has worked with some of the top farms in the world, or in the country, too. Well, that would be the world, wouldn't it?
Last I looked.
Last you looked. Including, of course, Chanticleer Farm, which he was over on the Midway Road between Midway and Paris. Midway and Versailles. So, yeah, that's where Midway Road would be. Isn't it? Anyway, also, he's done some work for... Hurricane Hills Farm, right up here on the Paris Lexington Road, and he can really help you out. And he's a nice guy and a superior horseman. And let me give you Ron's number. It's 621-1655. And if you're looking for somebody to help you enjoy your horse farm more, or if you've got new property, new land, and you want to build it the right way, well, he's the guy to call. Ron Wallace, and that number again is 621-1655, and his website is equinefarmmanagement.com.
I'm heading down the highway, happy tears running all the time, thinking of my folks and friends, sunny southern sky. This feeling's about the best I ever had. Lord, I'm fine. I'm heading south.
Are we on air yet? I'm just sitting here listening to Arthur Hancock sing.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah, Arthur's very good. We've got his CD. You know that CD of his was named, well, the horse was named.
Yes, the horse was named Sunday Silence first.
Yeah, after the song. Was that Johnny Cash that did that? Do you all remember that Sunday Silence? You remember Sunday Silence coming down?
I don't know, but yeah, the author wrote one.
Huh? Who
there's did? There's a Sunday Silence song on that CD.
Who?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he wrote one, but the horse's name, the original was something that Johnny Cash did, I think, and it was one that I thought one of the best things that Johnny Cash ever did. Yeah, but anyway. What do I know?
We turned on, what is the name of that RFD television last night? And the Porter Wagoner show came on. And it was for a while in black and white. And then last night, I just love it because I like to look back and see what Rube's really going on. And he had a new singer. His old singer, Norma, or somebody retired. And there was Dolly Parton. About, oh, it was so funny because she was so young. Her hair was taller than the rest of her entire body.
Well, it had to be wigs. Nobody could grow that much hair.
But I see now that high popped up, pumped up hair stuff was about 1961, 62, because I remember where I was in school and in college. And the yearbook came out, and one girl had her hair up so high. You look across the rows of pictures, and everybody's face was just the same size. You got to this girl, and to include her hair in it, they had to get way back, and she had a little tiny face and this huge pile of hair. That's what Dolly looked like in 1962.
Dolly was, she looked like a teenager there.
Yeah, well, she was, I'm sure.
In all her buxom glory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was really funny. We got a new singer. Miss Dolly Parton, I thought that is priceless stuff.
Well, the roof's going to fall in here in about 5 minutes.
There's nobody lined up to come on.
They're about ready. Well, you know, it hadn't been all that busy today, really. Yeah. How many workers do we have over there, Holly? Do you know we got a full page yet?
No, not
tractor's still on the track, isn't it?
I don't know if it's... He's off. They go down and work the lower track during
the
break.
He's still on.
And he's still up here. That's the reason no horse.
He has to wait.
Here comes the crowd, though, walking
26.
Up. 26 workers. That's light.
For a Saturday.
For a Saturday. Yeah, but it's been pretty steady all week.
This show's on early next week, too.
Yep.
8 to 10.
8 to 10 next week. We'll play...
Who'll we play next week, Wes? Georgia.
We'll play Georgia. At Georgia. Yeah. Right, yeah. There's not a time difference down there, is it?
No.
No, same time?
I think it'll be close. Matt says it's going to be close.
Matt's
making fun.
Well, Caleb's posse, winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, is a three-year-old by posse. Of course, posse stands at Vinery, New York. Regally Ready, winner of the $1 million Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, is a four-year-old son of More Than Ready. More Than Ready stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Regally Ready went to the end of the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint off a victory in the Grade 1 Neotic Stakes up at Woodbine. He runs in the Vinery Silks and was bred by Grapestock, a division of Vinery. So, too, was Western Aristocrat, recent winner of the Grade 1 Jamaica Handicap at Belmont. Regally Ready and Western Aristocrat, both bred by Grapestock, both carrying the Vinery Silks, both Grade 1 Stakes winners. Is it time for you to consider becoming a member of the Vinery Racing Partnership Program? Just contact John Gasper, Steve Castanola, Francis Rillihan, or Grant Williamson at Vinery, Kentucky. Number over there is 455-9388. And you can see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Harry Spirit, 6 furlongs in 107-1, 108-1, 108-3, and again in 108-3. He won the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt Handicap at Saratoga, easily defeating Breeders' Cup Sprint winner Big Drama. He posted buyer speed figures of 117, 115. Leading trainer Steve Asmussen described him as the fastest horse I've ever seen. That is Majestic Perfection. Majestic Perfection covered a full book of top-quality mares in his first season at stud this year, and if his foals look anything like their sire, they're going to be drop-dead gorgeous. Majestic Perfection is sired by Harlan's Holiday, nationally ranked this year, the sire of 10 2011 stakes winners, and he's out of a mare by the sire of champion two-year-old and outstanding sire Maria's Mon. This is a horse you have to see to fully appreciate. Truly a stunning individual, Majestic Perfection. He will stand his second season of stud next year at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Tell me how you've never cheated on me. Tell me that you always will be true to me.
All righty. Well, we're starting the second hour now, and the crowd's starting to show up here at the Thoroughbred Center. We're at the clocker stand, and I see Jamie Bruin out sitting out here on something. He's going to work. And hello, Jamie.
3/8
of a mile for Jamie Bruin.
Okay.
El Bucador. El Bucador. Okay. So I'm here by myself. Jackie's clocking. Matt Howard's clocking. And Holly Dunn's over there writing names down. And Resty and I just kind of we're standing here by ourselves. Resty, we're waiting on Doc and Michael Bowen to show up. course, Dr. Doug Breyer and Michael Blown. They'll be here in a minute, I reckon. And what am I going to do to kill the time till they get here? That's the key question. Do you keep dropping that shade down, or are you going to raise it now? Sun shining. You know, the sun comes up here now in the morning right on top of the half-mile pole. You're in trouble for a while till it climbs up in the sky over barn 10 over there. But how many you got going now?
One.
Just one right now? Oh, golly gee.
Oh, no. That's, here comes Don Combs.
Oh, here comes Don Combs. I'll get Don here and shut it, and he'll talk. Don can talk. Our resident Kentucky Derby trainer. Well, let me see. I can start doing. Let me do something on decimal while I'm sitting here. It's a pretty short one, and surely somebody will show up here I can talk to pretty soon. Rather than Swoon Son, that's going to take a while. That's talking about 1957. And decimal, let me get to him here and just to find my little notes. He was by slide rule, who was, of course, probably that people have kind of forgotten, I guess. But slide rule was a very good racehorse. He won the Westchester Stakes, won the Cowden as a two-year-old, won the Jerome, won the Arlington Classic. He ran third to Count Fleet and Blue Swords in the 1943 Kentucky Derby. So he was a little better than an empty stall. And he was by Boojum, Slybrew was. I'll get to that in a minute. Boojum was a good sire, too. He stood right next door over here at the Whitney Farm, H.P. Whitney Farm at that time. Decimal was a foal in 1952. His dam was Grand Heart by Granville. And he was bred by Meadowview Farm. And if I'm not mistaken, that was Mrs. F. Wallace Armstrong up in, I believe, New Jersey. I'm not sure about that. Edward Seinfeld owned the horse. And was trained by Alan Jerkins, one of the first stakes winners that Alan trained many, many moons ago. And he won the 1957 Toboggan Handicap going down the Widener course at Belmont Park. That doesn't exist anymore, of course. It was a straightaway course. And he beat Jovial Jove and Gay Warrior. And I think Jovial Jove ran for above Wamazon Farm. Somebody will correct me. If Bill O'Neill was still alive, he would certainly set me straight. But he'd been, Decimal had been one of the best sprinters in 1956, but he was likely raced in 1957 because of injuries. Boojum, who here comes Doc. Boojum was the was by John P. Greer, and Boojum was a good sire. He sired, and besides Slide Rule, he sired Infilade, who won the National Stallion Stakes and the Santa Susana, among other races. Thingamabob, always loved his name. He won Arlington Futurity. Boojiana, who won the Matron and the Top Flight in Skylerville, Ghost Run. Burger El Arab, who went to stud over here from Mr. Whitney. And he was the winner of the Tremont Stakes. He was lightly raced, but was undefeated as a two-year-old. John P. Greer also was the sire of Mayako, who was the Dam of Geisha, who was the dam, of course, of Native Dancer. He was the sire of El Chico, was bred by... Have a seat, gentlemen. He was the sire of El Chico, who was bred by Mr. Leslie Combs II, was an undefeated two-year-old. As the sire of Atlantis, who won the Spinaway in the Skylerville. As the sire of Jack High, was a very good stud. Jack High was the sire of Lucky Draw, a good old gilding. Jack S.L., another one. They were really good runners. Whisk Away, High Billy, 27 stakes winners. He was a good sire. He's also broodmare of the sire of Dedicate, of Bounding Home, who won the Belmont, Bowl, who won the Preakness, Invoke, Watermill, she won the Acorn, Royal Governor. And, of course, John P. Greer by Whiskbroom II. All right, Michael Blown has came in, and as I said earlier in the show, he's sitting down reading a racing form. He's too damn cheap to buy his own racing form, so I think that's the only reason he does the show over here. Come on,
I'm just putting a little bit of my magic on your racing form. You should be grateful.
But he's complaining about being sick, and I'm not saying mental. We know that.
Oh.
But he says he's got a cold.
Oh, my God. Well, breathe the other way, will you?
Yeah.
Hold your breath or something.
I'll try.
Okay. I'm going to scoot away from you now.
I don't like
the last thing I need is a bad cold.
He does that every week anyway.
Well, mentally. Right. Would you tell me about him, what you said you had?
What's that?
Something remark you made when I called you yesterday.
I don't remember. It was probably a compliment of Michael. I'm sure it was.
I'm sure it wasn't.
I thought it was the other way.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, or you wouldn't even remember it.
Right. You got that right. Well, I'm sorry you feel bad, old boy.
It's all right. It's no big deal.
Yeah?
No big deal. We've been doubling up. You know, that's it. Up early and the change of the weather and all that business.
Yeah, well, that's it. Here comes Don Combs just walked in, our resident derby trainer. Where do you get that hat?
I bought this. This hat's always yours.
This hat's old as I doubt that.
He bought it at the dispersal sale when they sold all of Francis the Talking Mule's hats.
They need you.
They need me?
They're backing up at the gate.
Okay. All right. They're backing up at the gate and they need Ursel. You better get rid of your headphones there.
Yeah.
Jesus. Jackie's falling all over the place. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more action here than there's going to be in that football game today. I'll tell you that. Their tackling's much better for sure.
What a riot. All of a sudden, the dam broke.
There you go.
Yeah, we've had about 8 works already, and it's 9:10. Now they're going to have to go outside just to keep up with it.
I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. He can do anything, can't he?
I know.
That Ursel, he's unbelievable.
I know. Thank God. Yeah. Nobody else do it other than me.
He's something.
So he, how's old France?
Good.
How was
good.
The open house?
It was great. It was really, really great.
Good.
Let's see, the highlights. Highlights were the horses because they all look great.
Oh, good. Yeah, new winter coats coming in.
Oh,
always
fabulous.
So pretty.
And it was a little chilly, so they were jumping up and down, and people were entertained and all that.
Good.
And Jay Pribman, the national correspondent for the Daily Racing Forum, came.
Good.
Jack Knowlton, who owned Funny Side, came. Bill Knack, who wrote the book on Secretariat, you know, he came.
Good.
I mean, it was really, really nice. And then, of course, you know, all of our great supporters came.
I came.
Dr. Byers came.
Oh,
along with Susan Byers. That was fabulous.
We couldn't get
that was really. It was
and
fun.
And her sister.
The barbecue
Carrie.
Was good. Yep.
And her.
And Doug paid for all of them.
Oh, wow. What a guy.
It's unbelievable, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was great fun.
Good.
The sale topper among the live horses with the halter auction, the AP Indy halter went for
$1,450. Oh, wow. That's super.
So I'm suggesting we go into the counterfeit halter business.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got to try to get that one off that $88 million mare.
Think Cole will put a section in his store.
Yeah, we'll have a little section in the back where we can operate.
Yeah.
Undisturbed.
Behind closed doors.
Yes. But it was really, really great fun. And Fred Krakowiak, the guy who is the artist that does the African paintings and painted Lava Man and
Precisions
for us.
Is that the guy that was here with
yes.
you that day? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, he's a nice guy.
You know, he did a wonderful job, and we sold a couple of his watercolors that fetched a nice price. And I think we probably raised somewhere between $12,000 and $15,000.
Oh, that's good. Excellent.
Very
it's
good.
It's getting to be hay season.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's been really good. And we had a horse named Carlson von Dock that I might have mentioned earlier who won the gold medal in the Beijing Olympics for jumping, show jumping.
Oh, yes.
They were kind enough over at Summerwind Farm to take him.
Yes.
And let us have a paddock over there. And I'd go over there every morning and evening and feed him and play with him and stuff. Well, Karen Bailey, Jane Lyon and Frank Lyon, who own the farm, their daughter Karen Bailey is really famous as a wildlife rehabilitator, but
yeah.
She's also used to ride show horses, and she fell in love with him, so she took him, and she's
good.
Now going to ride him around, I guess, and she sent some
good.
Pictures out, and he looks great. And Jane Lyon said that we could always have that paddock.
Oh, isn't
so
that
it's been
nice.
Designated. She's starting to refer to Summerwind Farm as old friends annex across the street.
Exactly. That's funny, but how nice.
Very nice.
How old was that jumper, you know?
Not very old.
Not very old. Well, good. That's better than retiring if somebody override him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, keep him.
Unless you ask him, and he says, I want to retire. I just want to sit around and drink beer with Michael.
Yeah. That's like that mare I've got. She's retired, she thinks.
Yeah.
So, you know, uh-oh. I'm not going to get on her first.
They were running around so beautifully this morning. You know, they were really going this morning.
Yeah.
The geldings were racing each other. They had their ears pinned back.
Yeah.
telling you.
Sounds like he's feeding them too much.
I like the gray. I like that gray.
That's super. Now, what's coming up next? You got anything next?
Well, we've got a lot of tours coming. A lot of tours. We've got Dottie. The other neat thing was I went to the Zenyatta party at the Breeders' Cup, and
that
was great. That was really, really a lot of fun, and I got some. Well, that was another thing that went for a lot of money. They signed a poster, Dottie and John Sheriffs and Mike Smith and Jerry and Ann Moss signed it, and we auctioned that up. We went for hundreds of dollars.
Good.
So that was fun, and we just got, you know, we're just getting ready to, you know, try and get a lot of hay in before the winter and get everybody ready and get all that done.
Yeah, because things are kind of winding down.
We had a lot of buses yesterday and the day before, a lot of buses. I bet we had 200 people yesterday.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. We drove by and there was a tour there. Mm-hmm. Betsy and I had Betsy with me.
Yeah.
So
she wanted to stop and you said, no, we're not going to stop.
No, we got to get home.
Got to see Little Silver Charm.
I know. She talks about him. Yeah. Got to go over and see him again for sure.
He was out on the tour.
Was he?
He likes to go out on the tour.
Oh, funny.
He's a huge hit.
That's people. Cute. What do? Drive along in the golf cart? And
no, I just walk him.
Oh, good.
And he races prized. Prize likes to race him.
Cute.
Yeah, it is cute. Because you got the little gray horse and you got the big black horse.
He's about how old now? 100?
Prized? Or
no,
it's Little Silver Charm?
Little Silver Charm.
I think he's about 24.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh. He should live to be about 40, though. The little ones live a lot longer, I'm told.
Yeah, we had a smallish, I think he was part Shetland teaser one time. He lived to be 35 if it was a day. We had him forever.
I hope this one lasts that long, because when we lose him, it's going
to
be bad.
Yeah, you have
attendance will drop by 40%.
No doubt. I'm sure Diane will leave, too.
Uh-oh. She can't. She has no money and no car.
Oh.
Well, she has a car that can go to Louisville sometimes, but that's
that
the range.
Right?
It's a sprinter.
Right?
It's a sprinter. Well, she can't afford to rent a car. So, you know, where's she going to go?
Yeah, right. Well, you solved that problem for yourself, didn't you?
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Genius.
Yeah. She may want to, but...
So have you been going over to Churchill, any of you?
No. But I went over at the simulcast at Keeneland.
Ah, yes.
That was good.
How'd you
do? Ran into Jim Williams. Good. Every time I run into Jim Williams, the simulcast manager over there... I always had a good ticket. He says, who do you like in this race? I said, the 8. Excuse me. I said, the 8. And Jim comes over, and here comes the 8, and he wins. And he paid $32. I said, okay, now I can go home. I saw you, and I get to collect. I'm leaving now. I got to go feed.
That's amazing how that works.
But it was fun. Yeah, Jim commented on it.
Yeah. It's a good place to go. They've got great facilities. You
it's
get
a great
facility.
It's
down.
A great food. I see people. Yeah. We have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great
get
place.
Gets you out of the house, gives Diane rest. It's perfect.
That's the important part.
Right.
I got rid of him.
I had a friend one time whose wife retired, and he turned around and retired right after her. I said, you rat. She's
no time
worked
alone.
Her whole life. And now she gets you in her face
years,
in her retirement.
Years and years and years ago when I was working at the Globe and covering the movies, I got to interview James Garner. And James Garner was married to the same woman at that point, Lois, for like, I don't know, 40 years. It's the longest marriage in Hollywood history for an actor.
Yeah.
So my editor said to me, would you ask him what's the secret? How do you stay married that long, especially in Hollywood? And so I asked him, I said, Jim, I said, you know, this, that, and the other thing, you know, how do you stay married for 40 years? And he had this very long dramatic pause, and then he said, golf.
Exactly. That's great.
Get out of the house.
He's funny in person, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Funny,
rehearsal.
Funny and nice and is
thank you.
Smart.
I'm going back to clocking.
Okay, good for you. This is good. Okay, the chief is back.
Yeah,
the pilot's back. He had to go to the rear of the plane to take care of business. Now he's back.
We just blew a commercial set, but yeah.
Oh no, we did them all.
Did y'all do those?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're kidding?
No. Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. Well, last week at Churchill Downs, the $500,000 sentient jet breeders
Cup Juvenile Sprint Stakes. That's a long word, isn't it? Anyway, it was won by Secret Circle, a two-year-old colt by Eddington. Bred by Wilmot Stables and sold for $165,000 at a two-year-old in training sale. And trained by Bob Baffert, Secret Circle's undefeated in three starts. Won his first start as a maiden special at Del Mar by over seven. Moved to Santa Anita for an impressive 5 1/4 length score in the Jack Goodman Stakes. Then overcame a rough trip in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint to win by a length over Shoe Moose by Distorted Humor and Hole in Bullets by Ghost Sapper. Noteworthy that Secret Circle is displaying his brilliance as a two-year-old because Eddington came into his own at 3-4. Winning the Grade 1 Pimlico Special, the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Handicap, the Grade 3 Calder Derby, placed in seven other graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Preakness, the Grade 1 Travers, the Grade 1 Wood, and the Grade 1 Don. Millionaire Eddington by Unbridled, $5,000 at Claiborne Farm. In other stakes, the Grade 2 Las Palmas was won by All-Star Heart, a four-year-old filly by Arch, stands for $30,000, and the King Cougar at Aqueduct was won by Summer Front, two-year-old colt by Warfront. Fees $60,000. All Claiborne fees are payable when the foal stands in nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Kate Blanco, undefeated to two, classic winner three. Hey, Matt, it's Tanya Balmitas' horse. Tell Matt it's Tanya Balmitas' horse. Tanya Balmitas' horse, okay?
5-1.
Kate Blanco, undefeated to two, classic winner three, undefeated in the USA at four, and the son of champion sire Galileo has joined the ranks of stallions at Ashford Stud. Kate Blanco met and defeated the best horse, the grass horses in America this year, winning in three starts. The Grade 1 Man of War, the Grade 1 at Belmont, of course, the Grade 1 Arlington Million, and the Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic Invitational at Belmont. He was also undefeated as a two-year-old, taking the Grade 2 Futurity and the Grade 3 Tyros. And at three, he won the Classic, Group 1 Irish Derby, the Group 1 Champion Stakes, the Group 2 Dante, and was second in the Group 1 King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Sold as a yearling for over $476,000. Kate Blanco retired with earnings $3,853,228. Kate Blanco is the most distinguished son of the great sire Galileo, yet to be retired in the USA. Currently ranked number one on the European sire list, four-time champion Galileo at age 13 has already sired over 100 stakes winners, 31 this year, 10 of them Grade 1 or Group 1 winners, including the Great Frankel, ranked number one in the world, and together, recent winner of the Grade 1, Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Gold Cup at Keeneland. Cape Blanco's dam has also produced Mr. O'Brien, a multiple graded stakes winner in this country of over 724,000. For more information about Cape Blanco, contact Coomore's Ashford Stud at 873-7088 and see the website at coomore.com. Leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coomore. Dr. Doug Byron said he just saw Cape Blanco the other day, and you liked him, huh?
Oh, tremendously. Fell in love with him, and I think a lot of people going to that horse.
I think he'll probably be champion turf horse this year. He'll get an Eclipse Award for champion. Ran three starts in this country, all three Grade 1 wins.
Yeah, he certainly deserves it. I mean,
he'll get it.
He finally just got a little problem with his knee, but he's fine.
Yeah.
Never went to surgery. He just... Rested it, and he's fine.
Yeah, they probably could put him back, maybe, huh? But yeah, I don't know. Why? You know, I mean, the horse has done about everything it's asked of him.
Right, and you know, he's by Galileo, and his disposition is like Galileo. I mean, just nice horse, nice to be around, beautiful eye,
yeah.
You know, and he's got great confirmation.
What does Galileo look like?
He's a Sadler's Wells. He's a kind of a typier horse. Sadler's Wells is kind of typey. But he has a very attractive head, and just a very, very balanced horse with great bone, and he just terrific. And of course, their other big hitter, Montu, is also by Sadler's Wells, but he's an entirely different kind of horse.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah.
They're both top sires. Of course, Galileo is, gee whiz. Over 100 stakes already. Not that old.
No. No, he's way ahead of everything, and he's so hot, I think, that he'd singe your fingernails just by looking at him.
I'd love to look at him. Wouldn't you, Michael?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
He's in Ireland, right?
He's in Ireland.
Yeah, he's leading sire in Europe. I think at Cape Blanco we should get champion grass horse over here, don't you?
Yeah, I do, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, we'll put a plug in for it, because he sure deserves it. Terrific horse.
If they listen to me, it would be the first time. Jackie doesn't even listen to me.
It's going to be interesting, the Eclipse Awards this year anyway. It's going to be crazy. Going to get Horse of the Year. It's like you can make a case for 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah, including Cape Blanco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the of course, the Philly...
Harvard de Gras.
Yeah. I want to say Harvard de Gras
because I know how you're a stickler for foreign pronunciations.
No, it's not that. It's because I remember the old racetrack, and it was pronounced, they called it Harvard de Gras.
Well, that's how they named the town. Maryland's Harvard de Gras, too. But
yeah. Well, I didn't know there was a town, but I knew there was a racetrack. That's where Citation lost his only race as a 3-year-old.
Huh.
Yeah. First start of the year. And a little stakes there, a little prep, stakes prep, really, for another stake was coming up. But it was in the mud, and Ark Arrow didn't let him run.
Huh.
And Saggy beat him. And of course,
I'm telling you, I'm glad I came here today. Just get this amazing information.
Well, I'm sure everybody knows that, for God's sakes. That was the sire carry back. Everybody knows.
Never mind.
Remember Saggy.
I'm all excited because I was looking through your racing form, and I found a wonderful horse I want to bet who's in a $5,000 claimer for Jersey Breds at Monmouth Park today. I know my class. He's 8-1 on the morning line, I'm saying.
He knows where he belongs there. Doc, let me get this set out of the way, and then we'll get to you, okay?
Okay.
I appreciate you, Ray. Will that work? Let me see where in the hell I am here. Okay. I think I know. Yeah, okay. Royal Desert.
You're at Judmont. You have to go to Judmont.
Oh, shut up.
He's doing his Diane impersonation.
Diane's his wife, in case anybody wondered. Royal Delta, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic of the Grade 1 Alabama, and sold earlier in the week at Keeneland for $8,500,000, a 3-year-old filly by Empire Maker. Empire Maker, winner of the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, top sire Chester Horse, a proven Grade 1 Stakes winner and Grade 1 sire, Grade 1 Stakes winner Chisling, and Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady were all produced by the Grade 1 Stakes winner Toussaint, a Broodmare of the Year. A family abounds with Grade 1 stakes horses. The Honest Lady by Seattle Slough won the Grade 1 Santa Monica Handicap and earned over $894,000. She produced 3 stakes winners, including Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense by Unbridled Song. First Defense is Forte Speed. 7 furlongs and 120 and 4, 121 and 1, 121 and 2, the day he won the Grade 1 4-go at Saratoga. He had brilliant speed. He's got a classic pedigree. The first foals by First Defense will race next year. And because he also has a pedigree loaded with successful sires, watch for him to come out running. Stands Judmont Farm. Inquiries with Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. Well, associates of McCauley Brothers have won more than 100 graded stakes this year, a list that includes the winners of 20 Grade 1 stakes. 3 were added to the list last week at Churchill Downs. My Miss Aurelia, winner of the Grade 1 Grey Goose Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Services. Regally Ready, winner of the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, was bred by Grapestock, a division of Vinery. And A Fleet Again, winner of the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Marathon, was raised on Gainesway Farm. Congratulations to Stone Street, Vinery, Gainesway, from McCauley Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. McCallers is proud of the success experienced by their customers and the fact that they have produced more than 100 stakes winners in 2011 alone gives ample testimony to the quality of the McCauley products. To join the winning team, contact Darrell Ward or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the offices of 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, Jim Fitzgerald, my good buddy over at Knott Griffin Farm, and also Harper's Island Farm, which nearby, he's a neighbor of mine, Jim is. Jim came over from Ireland, worked with Dr. Michael Osmond, with John Williams over at Spencer, with Lee Eaton, founded Knott Griffin Farm back in 1994. And he has a great boarding facility. Of course, he can do it all, sales prep. Sales, public, private sales, doesn't make any difference. Rehab, he's got the best quality farm help around, and he can give you some good, sound, common sense advice about the horse business. He's a guy that's been there and done that. That's my good friend Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm. Let me give you his website, knockgriffinfarm.com, and Jim's number, 987-8032. All righty. Doc?
Yep.
Is his mic on now? Now we got it. We got you.
Okay.
We got you keyboard.
Okay.
What are we talking about today?
Well, as I have to say, I always think of something that will trigger a topic. And this topic we visited with a little bit before, but I saw Mira going up towards sales ring, and I just kind of thought, well, boy, she's got a little more heavier winter coat than a winter coat. Uh-oh. Ought to be.
How old was she?
Yeah, precisely. So you just see her walk by and you say that she might have more hair than she should. So we think of hirsutisms and we think about a pituitary tumor. And so I saw a good friend of mine, works for one of the bigger drug companies, a couple of days later, and Mike Duvall. Mm-hmm. And Mike said, you know, hey, we've got a new FDA-approved medication for pituitary tumors. So he kind of pressed it. So I thought that would be a good topic to talk about pituitary tumors. But we want to compare it a little bit to that metabolic syndrome we've also talked about, where the horses get obese and they get foundered. And so with the pituitary issue, what the pituitary gland does is called a master gland up at the base of our brains. Mm-hmm. And so it releases hormones to tell other hormones to be released. So one of the main hormones it releases is adrenocorticotropic hormone, and that's ACTH. Mm-hmm. And that goes down to your adrenal glands, which are by your kidney. Mm-hmm. And the they release cortisol, so that's your corticosteroid that you need to generate your glucose, and it's gluconeogenic, and it does a lot of other things, anti-inflammatory. So when we give dexamethasone or other drugs, we're giving cortisol, basically what we're doing. We're mimicking that for its better properties when we think we need it. So with a pituitary tumor, that master gland up at the base of the brain starts to go crazy. And it starts hyper-secreting ACTH. And then that triggers the adrenal gland to hyper-secrete cortisol. Mm-hmm. So then you get all the consequences of too much cortisol. Now, the cutoff point varies a little bit, but probably about 14 years old is when they can start to show some early clinical signs. And so you got a mare that doesn't shed off in the summer or whatever, and you immediately get suspicious. And one of the things you would do is tell your veterinarian, you know, can we pull an ACTH and see if it's hyper-secreting? And you can. That isn't a foolproof test. You can, if the adrenal gland is hyper-secreting because of all this stimulation, the other thing you can do is give dexamethasone, which is a cortisol. And so it's a negative feedback program. You give dexamethasone to a normal horse, and you suppress their cortisol. It's very low when you recheck the ACTH because they don't need it because you've given it exogenously. And so when you do it to a pituitary tumor horse, it doesn't care. The ACTH and cortisol stay high.
So that's how you can use it. That's called the dexamethasone suppression test. Now, a lot of veterinarians don't like to do that test because when they look at some of these horses, they've got laminitis. Because the two conditions that we know are associated with chronic intermittent laminitis are the metabolic syndrome, which is your grass founder syndrome, mm-hmm. and pituitary tumors. So when you give steroids, they are associated with increasing inflammation to the feet. And so you could have a problem there. And so some veterinarians don't like to do that test. Now, a lot of academic people will say, well, no, it's safe. You can go ahead and do that test. But in any event, if you have a pituitary tumor, you've got a horse that early on you just really have maybe a hair coat, a little more lethargic than you'd like to have. When it advances in an older horse, then you actually get, we've talked about PUPD, which is polyuria and polydipsia. They drink excessively mm-hmm. because the sugars are increased in them, and that forces their or increases their thirst, and then they urinate it out.
Yeah.
So just like a diabetic person.
Yeah.
So anyway, they got that problem. You can have glaucoma. The eyes get too much blood pressure. They look like they're getting sway back when they're old. And they're not really getting sway back. Their belly is getting the muscle tone decreases with this thing.
Yeah.
So they get a pot belly on them.
And I got one of those.
But you don't have the hirsutism.
No, that's it.
Right. So in any event, you would see all these clinical signs, confirm it if you want. If you got hirsutism in them, there isn't anything else, yeah. So you'd start them on treatment. So now that there's an FDA-approved drug, anytime you have an FDA approval, that makes all the compounding basically illegal.
Oh.
So that's one of the rules of pharmaceutical engagement that's out there. So now the drug that they are using is Pergolide, which has been used for years and years and years. Reasonably expensive, and they compound it. A lot of the compounding pharmacies have it. And so now that this new pill has been approved, then the compounding pharmacies are not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But it's a game that's out there being played all the time. We have the same thing with Gastrogard, you know, all these other products that are going to provide the same effect. Now, the problem with any of those compounded things is they're not tested. In other words, you can just get the parent drug, put it together, and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't have a legal FDA-approved product.
Mm-hmm.
So the FDA-approved product basically puts you through all the testing where you show the efficacy and the safety for that product. So anyway, Pergolide is a drug of choice that you would use there.
Okay.
Now, if we compare that to a metabolic syndrome horse, they can have a high glucose sometimes, and that's because their insulin is not working. So they have insulin mm-hmm. resistance. And so they have a kind of a completely different thing. We don't involve the pituitary gland axis at all. That's normal. They just have too much fat, and the fat learns to secrete its own kind of a hormone called adipokines and leptins, and they block insulin. So it gets to be a vicious cycle. Of course, the treatment of choice there is to increase their metabolic rate with some thyroxine and buy a grazing muscle. That's the best investment you can have, and control that weight. Don't feel sorry for them.
Right.
You know.
Now Jackie's got this mare that's fox hunted about 4 Betsy got hurt.
Right.
And we have to put a muzzle on her.
Right.
Once the thing, a little hole in the bottom make them, you know.
Right. Well, they both.
She hates it. She sees that coming.
Well, both syndromes, Cushing's disease is the common name for the pituitary adenoma horses.
Yeah.
Both Cushing's and metabolic syndrome have abnormal fat distribution. They kind of get cellulite.
Yeah.
You know, you can see it.
Yes.
And
rolls.
Right, and it just looks like they're getting just fat deposits rather than
exactly.
Just nice.
Very
anyway,
good.
Yeah. So anyway,
people can make these diagnoses a lot of times with the history. That metabolic course is going to be probably less than 12 years old, but it could be 20 years old. It can be any age. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line to that one.
Yeah.
But usually we don't see the pituitary tumor till they're older.
Till they're older, yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of things with that, too.
Right.
All right, Doc.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your help today.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Say hello to Cape Blanco for me. He's a good one, isn't
he? I wish I had a couple of mirrors to say hello to him.
Well, they've got a sale going on at Keeneland.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I got to pick those ones that don't have too much hair.
Right. Thanks, Doc.
All right.
Well, Compressor's posted 2 wins and 3/3 and 5 starts. Farhan has 2 wins and a 2nd and 4 starts. Lon Jamil won a maiden special in his second start. Najran ran 2nd at Arlington, then was beaten the nose in a maiden special at Keeneland. Winspeaker ran 2nd in his most recent start at Woodbine. All 2-year-olds, all from the first crop by Classic winner and stayer Jazelle. Jazelle won the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes at the direct expense of Bluegrass Cat, following a fast-closing 2nd in the Grade 1 Wood Memorial and a game 4th in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby for earnings of nearly $900,000. His half-sister, champion Rags to Riches, also won the Belmont Stakes. His dam, Broodmare of the Year Better Than Honor, won the Grade 2 Demoiselle and placed in 2 filly classes. His 2nd dam won the Kentucky Oaks, produced 3 graded stakes winners and is the grand dam of an Oaks winner. His 3rd dam, yet another Broodmare of the Year, Jazzle, son of Seeking the Gold. Should be a great source of classic stamina. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes and see the website, shadwellfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my friends over at Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. It's an elective surgery outpatient facility, and they can do, well, take care of fractures, arthroscopy, limb deformities, lameness, whatever. What you do with Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine, you give them a call, you set up an appointment, tell them what you want, tell them what you need, and then they will give you a price, and that's exactly what you will, the bill will be. No surprises. They don't add-ons, no add-ons. And Dr. Bill Bernard's over there. Of course, everybody knows Bill. He's been around here. Well, he was with Rudin Riddle for 17 years, head of medicine over there. And he has the outpatient medicine division. Dr. Wes Sutter is a surgeon. He takes, he's, of course, an Ohio State grad. And he also was with Rudin Riddle. And he's the main surgeon there. The anesthesiologist is Dr. Laura Bidwell. And she came over from Rudin Riddle. And they set up this Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine facility. And their goal is to give you great service at a reasonable price. Here's where they are now. They're located right on the corner of Ironworks Pike and Georgetown Pike. You can't miss it. And the number over there is 9-967-0770. And the website is lexingtonequine.com. And that's the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine Facility. Well, he's sired a winner of the Kentucky Derby. He's sired a winner of the Preakness Stakes. He's sired a winner of the Belmont Stakes. And he's sired a winner of the Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. That's Distorted Humor, the nation's number one ranked sire. Dasselmeyer, bred by Aaron and Marie Jones, sold as yearling for $600,000 at Keeneland. Trained by Bill Mott, owned by Windstar Farm. Won the Breeders' Cup Classic by a length and a half with a late burst of speed after accelerating when asked after 7 furlongs and going 6 wide on the end of the stretch. It was a brilliant display of classic stamina. Winner of also the classic Belmont Stakes, Drosselmeyer has earned $3,728,000. Distorted Humor is the sire of, in 2011, of 17 stakes winners and the earners of more than $10 million. And to round off a great day, Boisterous, a 4-year-old colt by Distorted Humor, won the Grade 2 Red Smith Handicap in New York. Distorted Humor, the nation's leading sire, is at Windstar Farm. For more information about the Windstar stands, contact Robert Hammond. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And
how's it going out there, Jackie?
With a little help from our friends, everything's getting done.
With a little help from my friends, I see Scooter Hughes just walked up. Is he working something again?
He just worked it.
Just worked it?
Yep.
Yeah. Very good. How'd it go, Holly? All right.
Stressful. Matt? She said stressful.
Did she say stressful?
Yes. Oh.
What do you do for stress? You're the EMS around here. I mean,
Different kind of stress,
she said.
Yeah, if you'd break a bone, she's right on it.
Well, I'll try not to break any bones about it. How many we got over there now, workers? A couple of
page two.
We're on page two. Well, of course we'll be on page two. We're just about on page two. And there's 36 to a page, so.
Lots of gate works. Lots and lots of gate works.
Really?
Yeah. And he's got them lined up still.
Is Joe Heaton good humor over there?
He
today?
Said, stay online. There's a lot to do. 54.
54. Well, that's a light day for Saturday.
Yeah, but boy, they all came right after the break.
I know they do. They have a tendency to stack up on you that way. And they do. Let's see how much time I got here. I got time. And I'm going to talk a little bit about I guess I can't got time. Swoon Son. Let me dig out the debris here. Where in the hell is it? Nobody leaves. Here it is. Swoon Son. Yay. One of my favorite all-time horses, as a matter of fact. I remember him very well. Kind of a blood bay with a little crooked, narrow white stripe down his face. He was by the Doge. He's a foal in 53. Out of Swoon by Sweep Like, bred by Mr. E. Gay Drake over here on the Bryan Station Road. Lex Wilson trained him. Here's a funny thing about this horse. He was never a champion. At two, he ranked below Career Boy, Nail and Needles, and Prince John on Experimental Free Handicap. As a three-year-old, he ranked below Needles on the year-end handicap. Although, to tell you the truth, there were a lot of people who disagreed with that. Thought he should have been number one, but the Eastern sports writers outnumbered the Midwestern sports writers, and that's what that was all about. And Needles was a big-time Florida favorite, you know, first Florida bred to win a Derby. Here comes some more people up the clock. In 1957, as a four-year-old, he ranked below Bardstam on the free year-end handicap, and equal with Dedicate. That was, but. If these handicaps were, you know, accepted on face value, then through his four-year-old season, which was 1957, no horse had been as good as Swoon Son in 1 year that had been ranked over him had been as good in another year. So it goes, you know, beyond dispute that he was the best North American runner from the foal crop of 1953. And through 1957, he had started 40 times, won 25 races, 8 seconds, and 3/3. And earned $768,905. And at career's end, he had 30 wins and over $970,000. So he was awful good to Mr. E. Gray Drake. 1957 season was really not as spectacular as his three-year-old season had been. As a three-year-old, he won 10 of his 12 starts with 2 seconds. How do you do that and not be champion 2 years, 3 year old? Anyway, he failed to win at more than 9 furlongs and never won more than 3 in a row in 1957. And he was 0-3 on the grass. But there was no question, of course, about his class. His last start in 1956 was at Churchill Downs in the Clark Handicap, and he had won that. Now, Mr. Drake always took his home for a rest after the Churchill meet over to Mineola Farm. A few weeks later, in 1957, he did this every year after he turned him over to a trainer out of Keeneland. That was Straw the Griffin. And Mr. Griffin really liked the horse. He said, this horse never makes a wrong move. He's smart, he's steady, he knows what to do, and he just does it. I remember the horse real well. He stood just under 16 hands, but he appeared smaller. He was so well-balanced that he looked like a smaller horse until you walked up next to him and you could see, well, this horse is right at 16 hands. Made his first start in 1957 down at Churchill on May the 2nd, going 7/8 of a mile, carried 128 pounds.
and he won by half a length over a very good horse named Sierra Aaron, who was getting 9 pounds. Sierra Aaron raced for the Rubens. What the hell do they call that farm at the head? Hasty House Farm, yeah. Of course, they didn't have a farm. That was the name of the race under. Sent him up to Washington Park, the Balmoral meeting up there, and he won the LaSalle Handicap going 6 furlongs, and he won the Citation Handicap going a flat mile, both on slow tracks. And he was third in the Balmoral Turf Handicap, going a mile in the 3/16. Carried 130 pounds in the LaSalle, 131 in the Citation, which I just said he won, 128 in the Balmoral Turf, and it was a soft course. He didn't care much for that. Ran 3 times at the Arlington meet with the same result, 2 wins and a defeat on the grass. He won the Warren Wright Memorial under 130, beating Fabius, who was in with 125. Fabius, of course, the Preakness winner by Citation, his own races in the colors of Calumet Farm. He beat Klang's 22-year-old track record today, going seven furlongs, 121-3. Won the Equipoise Mile on July the 17th under 132 pounds over Call Me Lucky, who was in with 1-8, and then Fabius again, 123. Went a mile, 136-4 on a good track. In the next start, he was second in the Arlington Handicap, going a mile on the 3/16th under 128 pounds. He got beat by Manassas, who was appropriately enough named, sired by Bull Run. Manassas was in with 121, so he was getting 7 pounds. And his next 3 races were also losses. He ran 5th in the Meadowland Handicap on soft turf. That was his last start on the grass that year. He just got beat 2 lengths. He ran 5th in the Klang going 6 furlongs. Got beat about 2 lengths that day. So he was close even in defeats. On September the 2nd, in the Washington Park Handicap, under 130 pounds, he ran 3rd to Pucker Up. That was Donata Farms, a good Olympia mare. She was in with 122, so he was giving her some actual weight there. Fine, was a tough old gilding that lasted for years and years and years. He was in with 121. They ran the mile in 134-4, and he came up with a slight quarter crack days before the race, and really wasn't at his best that day. Went to Hawthorne, a Midwest Handicap, 6.5 furlongs, 131 pounds, 131, and he won, eased up in 116-4. The Charles W. Bidwell Memorial led all the way under and won that under 131. Won under a hand ride. Dave Erb rode him in, I think, all his races. Set new track record mile in an 8th, 148-4. Went second to Round Table, who was a 3-year-old that year. Round Table with 121 in the Hawthorne Gold Cup. Carried 125 pounds. Round Table set a new track record, a mile and a quarter in 2 minutes and 1/5. Came back home to Keeneland, and they ran in a betless exhibition out there against 3 other horses on October the 23rd on a sloppy track. Won by 8 and 109-3 under 126 pounds. And 5 weeks later, he ran his last and worst race of the year after a layoff, which really obviously didn't help him. He ran 4th and last after setting a pace on an off track. Got beat by Promised Land, Tick Tock, and Third Brother. So that was, we'll have to talk about him when we get to 1958, because he came back again. Well, Royal Delta, wait a minute, wrong commercial. I got the right commercial down here. Here we go. Funny Moon, let's talk about another top mare. Funny Moon, 5-year-old daughter Malibu Moon, topped the sale last Sunday at Fasig Tipton. Grade 1 stakes winner, Funny Moon, went to my Meadowview LLC for $2,300,000. And the third best price of the sale was $1,550,000 bid by Alpha Delta Stable for Marin Folda Malibu Moon. Perhaps bidders had been influenced by the victory of Manage the Count, a 2-year-old Copa Malibu Moon, in the Tocket Stakes at Aqueduct earlier in the day. But it's more likely they have seen Malibu Moon's name among the top 5 on the North American sire list, or his progeny in the winner's circle after many of the nation's most coveted races. managed count, is his 57th stakes winner, 13th 2011 stakes winner. Malibu Moon stands at Spencer Farm, whose silks were carried to victory in the Grade 1 $2 million TVG Breeders' Cup Turf Mile last Saturday. A multiple Grade 1 stakes winner of over $3,746,000. Court Vision is to stand the 2012 season at Park Stud, up in Canada. There's an open house at Spencer Farm today, 11 through 3, and throughout the sale. And you are invited to inspect the stallions, including Court Vision, and also Tisway. Now, Tisway is going to stand his first season at stud at Spendthrift in Kentucky next year. Just contact the farm at 294-0030 or check with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey, Sean Feller, and Ed Toffey. Or, and be sure to inquire about breeding incentives and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, having tears in my eyes, thinking of my folks and friends, sunny southern skies. This feeling's about the best I ever had, Lord, I'm flying. I'm heading south with Nashville on my mind.
All right, Arthur. I want to see Arthur. He's been playing downtown at a restaurant a couple of times, he and his son. I want to go down and hear that. And they were supposed to call me if he ever went back down there again, but nobody's called me. But anyway, you got something you want to say over there, Jackie?
Not real. Well, go if you want to hear this thing streamed live, you go to WLXG.com. And if you want to hear it again or got relatives that, you know, maybe you're, I don't know why, it'll be up on UrsulaEllis.com pretty quickly. The fellow that's doing it for me, who's a real good computer guy, he will... Oh, yeah, next week we're on from 8 to 10.
Again.
Again, because the ball game is on at 12-something.
Yeah, we have a pregame show coming up right after this.
Maybe it'll rain, and then we won't have so many workers.
Well, it wasn't bad this morning, I should say, but I sat over here and did most of the talking.
Yeah, I know. Poor Holly's over here going, rolling her eyes. It wasn't bad. We had a big crush once. It was like 20 and 15 minutes.
Yeah, that happens after the renovation, after they renovate the track.
Anyway, this show will be up on UrsulaEllis.com quickly. Stephen Goodlow is doing our...
Computer work. So. Yeah. Well, we've had 9 winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. Paul Garcia again. Wayne Mogie took tap down at Churchill and win a feature race down there. Howard Rice, Alan Krupper, Paul Garcia for his third one. Eduardo Carbamori, John Booker, and last night, Kellen Gorder took Malibu Moon Dance, a nice filly. She stakes place filly. Took her down to Mountaineer and won a good, nice race down there.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He does a good job, Kellen does. Trains, he's got a string at Keeneland, too. This one trained here. I know because I clocked that sucker.
There you are.
Yeah. Let's see. Something I was going to say. Oh, yeah. I think it's worthwhile saying again that of the 15 of Breeders' Cup races, 11 of them were won by Kentucky Breds. And
Ray for our side.
Yeah, Ray for our side. 2 of them were won by Irish Breds, and 1 each for California and Florida. We'll let them throw them a bone.
Yeah. It's hot and... Not in both places. They can have it.
Yes, exactly. But I thought, of course, Drosselmeyer, who won the Classic, was by Distorted Humor, stands over at Windstar Farm. Windstar's having a heck of a year. Because he won the Belmont Stakes last year. His horse can run all day. You know? By Distorted Humor, who's moved to number 1 on the sire list. And what else? I want to thank Mary Jane for getting up early in the morning and come down in the studio.
Have to do that next week, too, Mary Jane.
Yeah, you have to again next week. And, of course, Ressi Duke there is getting ready for the Kentucky Vanderbilt game.
I know, he's all dressed up in his...
Got on his blue sweatshirt.
His blue hat.
It's not Duke, is it?
No.
Oh, that was a loud and hearty no. That blew me off the chair.
All right. Well, once again, we're going to be on early next week, 8 to 10, and you can listen to us screw up clocking and screw up the show. And
yeah.
And whatever.
A twofer.
A twofer, yeah. We'll talk to you next week.